Hello everyone. Let me first thank organizers for this opportunity. Here I'm going to talk about Echoes from the Abyss, Tentative Evidence for Planck Scale Structure at the Black Hole Horizons. I did this work with collaboration of Hannah Dikar and Niyesh Afshardi. Just after we put this paper on paper in archive, the news appeared on many journals and magazines, including the Nature.com. There are theoretical evidences that quantum black holes might be significantly different from their classical counterparts. In particular, the modern versions of Hawking black hole information paradox leads to the exotic alternatives for classical black hole horizons, such as fireball and fuzzball. There are also other motivations for Planckian physics at the horizon. One is my coming paper, which explains the origin of gravitational wave echoes from quantum fluctuations of black hole horizon. Another is solving cosmological constant problem with Niyesh and his collaborators. And the other one is gravistars with Emil and Pau. Consider two colliding quantum black holes. The tunneling probability for these black holes is at the order of e to the power minus m squared. This is very small, extremely small number for stellar mass black holes. On the other hand, if we agree on Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, there exists e to the power entropy states for these black holes that they can tunnel through. So this large number cancels this small number, and the tunneling rate becomes at the order of one. This shows that we may have important quantum effects even for stellar mass black holes. Similar phenomena happens in the sun, where without quantum mechanical tunneling, we wouldn't have a nuclear fusion in the sun, and we wouldn't see a shining sun. For an observer, pointing to the astronomical black hole, it is not expected to experience anything dramatic as he or she crosses the event horizon. Intuitively, as you see in this picture, these black holes are like bottomless pit. On the other hand, if we consider quantum effects, these effects may become important at some point, so it is no longer bottomless, and they may reflect back the incoming waves of gravitational wave and producing echoes. Now consider two merging classical black holes. The spectrum of gravitational wave is something like this. There exist three parts for this spectrum. First part is in spiral, where two black holes are orbiting around each other and making gravitational wave, and it has the lowest frequency part. The next part is merger, where it has the maximum amplitude, here where two black holes collide. And the last one part is ring down, where the final black hole is formed, but there still exists some perturbations around the black hole space, final black hole space time that want to go to infinity. And this part has damping behavior. As Paul explained, Paul and Vitor showed that introducing a structure near the black hole horizon leads to the echoes from gravitational wave of ring down of gravitational wave. These pictures are from their paper. These echoes are on identical time intervals. So let us consider the gravitational wave spectrum. In particular, we look at the ring down part here. If you look at the tail of the ring down, the tail of the ring down is explained by quasi-normal modes. These modes have outgoing and ingoing part. The outgoing part is the one goes to infinity and observed by LIGO. The ingoing part, if it is a classical black hole, this ingoing part will be absorbed by the black hole. But if there exists a structure near the horizon, the scenario is different. As you see here, if there exists a structure here, this structure can reflect back the ingoing part. So this ingoing part goes to the angular momentum barrier here, which is here. This angular momentum barrier is classical. The portion of the wave that passed through this barrier, we call this first echo. The rest of the wave, which is reflected back, goes towards the Planckian structure, and the process repeats itself and produces second echo, third echo, and other echoes. These echoes are in identical time intervals given by this equation, which is the tortoise coordinate distance from here to here. And here it is Planckian length from the horizon, and this is the peak of the angular momentum barrier. The key peak of the angular momentum barrier is given by this equation, and Planckian length from the horizon is given by this equation, which is Planck proper length from the horizon. So, as I explained, Paul and Vitor showed that we expect to have, if there exists a structure near the horizon, we expect to have echoes from ring down of black hole merger. So we needed to separate the ring down from LIGO template. This is the LIGO template. We need to remove the in spiral part. We use this picture, which is the picture from paper of LIGO. There exists in spiral and merger ring down, and there exists intermediate region. So we introduce a free parameter here, varying from here, to remove the in spiral part, and we use a smooth truncating function to remove this part. This function is this, which is a tangent function, which is 1 at plus infinity here, and 0 at minus infinity. After removing this part, we put copies of the ring down at identical time intervals with a damping factor, which is gamma, varies between 0.1 to 0.9. And T0 is the free parameter where we remove the in spiral part. It varies between minus 0.1 to 0 times delta T echo for different events. Then we calculate the SNR for different events and combine all the SNRs. There exist 6 free parameters. One is gamma. As I explained, it is a damping factor, varies between 0.1 to 0.9. Delta T echo, which 3 events have different delta T echo because their mass and spins are different and their errors are different. So these errors are given from paper of LIGO. And the mass and based on mass and spin, we obtain these values for delta T echo. T0, which is the same for all the events, and A, which is overall amplitude of the echoes. Then we vary all these free parameters and calculate the SNRs and maximize the SNRs. Here, it is the position of the first echo, and this is the result of our calculation. If there exists no echo in the data, we wouldn't expect to see any peaks here where we look at for the position of the first echo. But surprisingly, not only we saw a peak for the strongest gravitational wave event, which is GW 15914, but also when we combine all the 3 events, this peak grow and the significance increase. For the GW 15914, we report 1.6 sigma as the significance of echoes, and for combining SNRs, we report 2.5 sigma. As you see here, 2.5 sigma, and this is 1.6 sigma. The region we look at is 1% range error away from the position of the first echo. where since we expect to have one wavelength error for the position of the peak. So we calculate how much this peak can move when we use different phase for the our template.
Can I ask something about that? Okay. If I look at the 1 sigma versus 2 sigma fluctuations and I count them,
here?
The counting doesn't add up.
You could show the next part, I think, for that.
Yeah, yeah.
The one after.
No, yeah, I will explain in the next plot.
Do you understand? Okay. So if I count, I don't see that the 2.5 sigma is rare as I would expect.
Yeah, I will show you. Okay. This is the function of, this is the p-value as a function of gamma. As you see, when we increase the for lower gamma, the p-value is very high, so there is no echoes in the data. But if we increase gamma, the p-value decreases and probability of being noise decreases significantly. This is the plot you asked. So this is the point we look at for the position of the first echo for GW9914. As you see here, there exists a peak here where we expected to see echo. There exists 4 peaks here around this event, so we report 1.6 sigma for the significance of this echo. And when we combine all of them, all the 3 events, these peaks disappear. Here, these peaks disappear, but these peaks grow. If there exists no, there exists no echoes here, they should disappear. If there exists no echo here, this also should be disappeared, but it grow. And if you can divide all this range into 100, 1%, 2% time intervals, and recover 2.5 sigma, which is 1%. So before we did this calculation and before we put our paper in archive, we sent our paper to many people, receiving many comments. As you see, this here, this one is special, and this is, I think, what is it?
Sorry, does this answer? So the point is that this is 1% of regions have a peak this week.
All I was saying, just looking at this, it doesn't look as as what you are quoting, but I'm sure you checked.
We're all looking at the same thing here, right? So I think you have the last peak there. So if you look at 100 independent regions there is only one of them that has a peak that week. And that's 1%.
I was asking about the ratio of, let's say, 2 sigma to 2.5 or 1.5.
It's not the Gaussian.
Okay. That's the only thing that I saw.
It's not a Gaussian distribution.
So then, what's the significance of this 2.5 sigma or 2 sigma and so on? If the distribution is not Gaussian,
right? It's just that the 99% is the probability half that you get that.
So it would be 2.5 sigma if it were a Gaussian. I mean, which is the real number?
No,
the probability or the sigma?
So. So the thing is, we never have Gaussian statistics, or very rarely have Gaussian statistics, but then we translate probabilities to sigma values, and that's the way it works, even though it may not be Gaussian probability.
Another test is we look at the independent detectors, Hamford and Livingston, and see whether they have peaks at the right point where we look at and saw a peak for GW9914. And interestingly, not only both detectors, Hamford and Livingston, show a peak at the same point, but also the ratio of the peaks are comparable to the ratio of the main gravitational wave event for independent detectors. This is our template in a frequency domain. As you see, there exist many peaks here because we have our template has many echoes and they act like resonance. Our template has no low frequency part here because we removed the inspiral part. And the final result is this. This is the main gravitational wave template, and then template of echo. We did this calculation for these three events. After our paper, two other events are reported. We did the same analysis for them. Here, as you see, GW170104, it has a clear peak right at the point where we saw our former peaks. Here it is GW170814. There still exists a peak here. We calculated the p-value, although they show a peak here, but the p-value is increasing by a factor of 2. Well, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. But this is 2.5 sigma for claiming quantum gravity or Planck scale physics. Future observations from interferometric detectors at higher sensitivity or more accurate model may confirm or rule out this finding. Thank you.
So Jared, just at the end there, when you combine 170104, the significance, the p-value goes up.
170804,
it also goes up, right?
No, both have the same behavior. When we add this, it goes by a factor of 2. Again, when I add this, totally it increased by a factor. It means that this doesn't change the result.
Okay, so 170104 makes the p-value go up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 170814 has no effect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or no measurable effect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly. Yes. A quick question. So your theory predicts the T echo. Is that a free parameter or is that just a fixed?
It is a theoretical fixed parameter, but because there exists errors in mass and spin of the black hole, this value changes based on errors of paper of Loeb.
Is it true? You have this log factor, but the M over M Planck is so huge that presumably the log factor only changes by a really tiny amount. So presumably the uncertainty is so high you can't really tell that log factor changes, can you?
An order of magnitude for Planck length changes the log factor by a factor of 1% or 2%. It doesn't change very much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the different mass black holes, the log would be so close together. So, I mean, how do you rule out that maybe there's just some other factor times some fundamental frequency that's of order of the log? How big is the log anyway?
For GW150914, it is 0.3 seconds.
But how big is
the log? 100 times the mass of the radius of the black hole. It is at the order of 100.
So the logarithm itself is a factor of about 100.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So it gives 1%.
Could there be any effect that says that you have some period and then there's something that gives you something 100 times that doesn't depend on a log, it's just some number of order 100? I mean, could there be some effect like that or not?
These gravitational waves are produced outside the black hole, close to the angular momentum barrier. And this 100 factor comes with that effects. If there exists something far from the horizon, they produce 1% error, not very much. It is very small. Because of tortoise corner.
We should probably discuss.
Yeah.
I would think it would be unlikely, but possible. But I think this is a longer discussion. Yeah.
Luis? Towards the right of your plot, things are also growing. What happens if I go to 1.1? Do you have something that is higher than the significance of the effect that you're claiming? I mean, if I look at 1.0345, right, so I have something else that is growing, and
here?
If it keeps growing, it's going to overwhelm even when you say there is an effect.
Yeah, there is. If we look at the higher range, there exists higher peaks, and we just look at 2% range and claim obtain the significance. We don't look at here. This is the picture.
Should I not be worried about
No, this is far from the where we expect to see echoes. It is not, it is far outside our range of.
Right, so now I understand, but if I see something that also accumulates and is significant on the side where you do not expect to see echoes, wouldn't you say that that's evidence for maybe what you're picking up is some artifact and the detector as opposed to a real signal? That's what I'm trying to understand.
I don't. We don't look at that because our theory doesn't predict anything here to have a peak.
What is the probability of picking a, seeing a peak at any random position? That's I guess you're claiming you have a low probability at this point, but randomly there is a probability. But
if you look at the higher range, you will see higher peaks, any peaks in the data, and we. We divide our range where we look at to around 2,000 2% range and calculate how much we see a peak higher than this, and it is 1%.
So I think we're going to have much more discussion of this coming up in the next couple of talks. So let's thank Jai, and I think move on, given time.